Thank you for that beautiful music, amen. Today I'm continuing the second sermon of the series that I started on the last day's events from Revelation chapter 13. So I want you to open with me Revelation chapter 13. And last time, if you were here, if you're not, I'll just summarize quickly. We talked about the first part of Revelation chapter 13 from verses 12 to 15, and we saw the earth beast, which represents the United States of America. It says that it will bring down fire from heaven. So we talked about fire from heaven, what it means, and we saw that it's a symbol of a false manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Is like a false prophet, like in the Old Testament, Elijah brought fire from heaven when he prayed, the beast will try in the last days to bring this false manifestation of the Holy Spirit, which will bring false worship and false revival. Now, in history, there are two different strategies that Satan uses against God's people, against people in general. First is deception, and we saw that last time. Through these signs of bringing fire from heaven, Satan will try to deceive people into accepting his agenda in the last days. But there is another tactics that he uses, and that's coercion or force, persecution. So when he cannot accomplish his goal with deception, he goes to his second strategy, which is force, persecution. And that's what we see here. Last sermon, we saw that he's going to use all the deception he has in his trickery bag to deceive people into accepting these false signs and false worship and false revival in the last days. But those who will not accept that, those who will be standing up for the truth, Satan will go to his second strategy. So let's read together Revelation chapter 13, and we'll read verses 12 to 15. And the Bible says this, 12 to 15. And he, meaning the earth beast, exercises all the authority of the first beast, which is the sea beast, in his presence, and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs, and we talked about that in last sermon, so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of man. And he deceives, that's the first strategy, those who dwell on earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make and what? An image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. Now verse 15, this is where the second strategy comes in. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to what? Be, are you guys reading with me? Cause to be what? Be killed. So the first strategy is found there is deception. If it doesn't work, Satan goes to the second strategy, force. Persecuting people to the place where they can be killed as well for standing up for truth. So, today we're going to look at two stories in the Bible that will help us understand Revelation 13, this part, about the image. So I entitled my sermon today, Making an Image. The first story, of course, all of you will know is found where? Daniel chapter 3. So I want you guys to go with me, Daniel chapter 3. This is the, it's an obvious allusion to this story in Revelation chapter 13 when we talk about the image. So, setting up the background, this story starts in verse 1, and as you look there in Daniel 3 and verse 1, it starts this way. The Bible says that the king Nebuchadnezzar did what? Nebuchadnezzar the king made what? An image of gold. It's exactly what it says in Revelation, that the beast will ask the people to make or demand from everyone to make an image to the beast. Now, if you skip to verse 6, Daniel 3 verse 6, in verse 6 it says that, and whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately, what? Into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Does this look like Revelation 13 to you? There is an image set up. If you don't worship the image, what happens? You're being killed. It's exactly the same here. There is a decree, a death decree, in case for those who are not going to bow down and worship the beast. So the image becomes the test of allegiance to God. The image becomes, in the last days, a test of allegiance to God. So, if you follow in the story in Daniel chapter 3, the Bible tells us that among those present, were three young Jewish men. They were the friends of Daniel. And you all know the story. You've heard it many times as a child. But now I want you to follow with me in the story to see how that parallels Revelation 13. So, when the music played, and everyone was commanded to bow down, what happened to the three young men? What did they do? What did the young men do? They stood up. They didn't bow down before the image. Now, they refused to bow down. Of course, there were certain men that were watching everyone over there, you know, in case somebody doesn't bow down, and to really come immediately and report to the king. So, in verse 12, these guys, as soon as they saw these three young men, it wasn't hard not to see them, right? Because they were the only one standing up. So it was very visible in that valley, even though there was a lot of people there. These guys run to the king, and in verse 12, I wanted to look at verse 12, and they give the report to the king. It says, "There are certain Jews, or some Jews, whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regards to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up." Now, as you can imagine, there were a lot of Jewish people there, right? There was more than just three. How many didn't bow down? Only three. So what happened to the other God's people? What happened to the other people of God? They were scared. They were afraid of this death decree. And what did they do? They knelt and bowed down before the image. Even the text tells us when the report comes, these guys report to the king that there are only some Jews, only a few that didn't bow down. The rest of them did. Now, I want you to listen to me, people of God. There are parallels in this story to the last days in Revelation 13. And this is a sad parallel that I want to make, but the Bible is very accurate. It's always a remnant that stays faithful to God. And I want you to be part of that remnant. Amen. I want you to be part of that remnant that will have the courage to stand up to that. Now, as I look at this valley and I see all these people, I'm trying to imagine what happened there, and I want you to place yourself there in the valley. I want you to see yourself standing there with all the people, and I want you to hear the music play, and I want you to hear the words of those people who declared, the king and others declaring, that if you don't bow down, you'll be killed. I want you to imagine standing there. What would you do? Are you imagining that? As I'm looking at that valley, I can see two groups of people. I can see everyone bowing down before the image, but I can see another small little group, just a few young men standing up. And now it's very fitting that we're having investiture today for Pathfinder Adventures, young people standing up for God. These are the two groups I can see there. But wait. I can see another group of people. And this group is not found in the Bible, but I'm just going within my imagination here. Allow me to do that for a second. I can see a third group of people. I can see a group of people that are just kneeling down only on one knee. One is up and one is down. I can see those people. They're called God's people that thought if they just bow on one knee, they will be okay. They thought that they can compromise with the world, be on both sides, get the better of the both worlds. Compromise. I can see those people kneeling down, and I can see them. You know how the children do when they want to say something they don't mean? They keep their fingers crossed behind their back, you know, the childish thing they do. I can see these people doing the same thing, just bowing on one knee, kneeling on one knee and saying, nobody can see me. And trying to say, God, I'm still faithful to you because I'm not kneeling on both knees today. Like children do that with their fingers, this is the same, a childish attitude, a very immature attitude. And unfortunately, there were lots of people at that day that had that immature attitude. And unfortunately, today we have many Christians that have the same attitude. They think today, and we have those Christians in our churches, they think that they can get the better of the both worlds to be in the world and in the church. With one foot in the world and one foot in the church. We have a saying for that, you're right on the fence. You can't be on the fence when it comes to spiritual matters. You cannot compromise with the world when it comes to spiritual matters. And unfortunately, we have so many of those people in our churches. I want you to think very careful today. What are you compromising today? What is your image that you have to stand up to and not bow down? There are many images that you can have, many things in your life that you can bow down to. And now I want to talk specifically to our young people. I see a few here and I see a few out there. Young people, you have a lot of things that you battle in your lives today. You have a lot of images in this world that require your worship, your attention, and your allegiance. So young people, who do you pay your allegiance to? Are you trying, like this Jewish people, to just kneel on one knee and say, I'm still okay if I'm a little bit in the world and a little bit in the church? It's not working that way. God wants your full commitment. God doesn't want half commitment. He doesn't want a third of your life. He wants all of your life. And it's very important that you remember that this people that stood up for the principles were what? Young men. Let me read you Fundamentals of Christian Education, page 89. It says this, stand up for Jesus, young friends, and in your time of need, Jesus will stand up for you. Amen? Amen. That's what it says. By their fruit you shall recognize them. Either God or Satan controls the mind. And the life shows so clearly that none need mistake to which power you yield your allegiance. Everyone has an influence either for good or for evil. Is your influence on the side of Christ or on the side of Satan? If you think that you can trick someone by just being in the world and in the church, you can, because it says here, either God or Satan controls the mind, and your life will show that clearly. It's not, this is the people that try to trick the king just by kneeling on one knee, saying the king is not going to see me, but by doing that, they trick themselves. Young people in the church here, specifically talking to you, this is a very dangerous thing to do, to try to be in both worlds, in the world and in the church. Be very carefully what Satan whispers in your mind. He can say, it's okay. A little bit of this is not going to hurt anyone. But God wants your full allegiance to Him. These three young men stood courageous against the king. Courage is something that our young people need today. Amen? And not just young people, all of us need courage today to stand up for our principles. Especially when someone in authority challenges you. Who did they stand against? The king himself. It wasn't just a regular guy there that was asking them to bow down. It was the king himself, and they told the king, even if you throw us in the fiery furnace, we will not bow down. Sometimes we pick and choose who we want to stand against. If it's your boss at work, you might say, I don't know, he's in the position of authority. I don't want to upset anything here, so I'm not going to say anything. Or if it's someone else, this was the king himself and these three young men didn't care about that. Let me tell you a story about during the communist time in Russia, during the time of Nikita Khrushchev. Some of you know this name. Nikita Khrushchev was one of Stalin's allies when Stalin was in power for 50 years. And he did atrocious things in USSR. So Nikita Khrushchev, when he took power, he became the premier of Soviet Union. He denounced many of policies and atrocities that Stalin did, even though he was a part of that. He denounced them. And once, as he criticized Stalin in a public meeting, Khrushchev was interrupted by a shout from the back of the room. One of the people in the audience shouted. He said, "You were one of Stalin's colleagues. Why didn't you stop him?" Khrushchev looked out and he shouted, "Who said that?" And you can imagine, there was an agonizing silence. Nobody dared move a muscle. Then Khrushchev replied quietly, "Now you know why. Now you know why." When you are challenged by someone, your peers, it's easier to stand up. But when you're challenged by someone in high authority, you might be afraid. But it will come a time where you'll have to stand up. It will come a time that you're not going to have to care who is challenging you. It will be authorities, it will be governments. You will have to stand up for Christ. Are you ready when that time comes? We're talking about last day events here, and it will be set up an image at the end time, a system, a political, religious system that will require your obedience and your worship. What are you going to do in those days? Someone once said, if you're willing to abandon your principles for convenience or social acceptability, they are not your principles, they are your costume. Let me read that once again, and I want you to remember that. If you are willing to abandon your principles for convenience or social acceptability, they are not your principles, they are your costume. It's something that you wear to pretend to look good. And you take them off as soon as something comes up in your life, you face some challenges, you'll take it off very quickly, just as quickly as you put them on. Now, young people, I know social acceptability is important to you, right? Young people, I know you struggle for that. I know you always want to be socially accepted. And there is nothing wrong with that. Do you have to sacrifice your principles for that? No. Then it's just going to be a nice uniform. Not a Pathfinder uniform, but it's just going to be a nice uniform that you're wearing sometimes, and then you just give it up quickly. Now, let me talk to you, more mature people here. We want to be comfortable, right? Do we like to be comfortable? Only some of you. Do we like to be comfortable? Yes. Yes, we do. Convenience, it's a big word in North America. Everybody wants convenient things in North America. Are you ready to sacrifice your convenience for God's principles? Are you? Because I'm not sure. Looking at our church in North America, I'm really not sure if our church is ready to sacrifice convenience for God's principles. I am really not sure. So I want you to think about, as you go home and read Revelation 13, all those events that are going to happen in the last days, and where are we going to stand? Are we going to be like these three young men that stood for God's principle, or we are going to sacrifice it for convenience, for comfort, and social acceptability? Listen, those three young men, they knew what they expected. They were expected to be thrown into the fiery furnace. Was that a convenience? It was very inconvenient. But they said, I'm not going to choose the comfortable life, a convenient life. I'm going to give that up because I want to stand for God. Now, there is the good news in this story. And the good news is that when the three young men were thrown into the fiery furnace, there was another one that jumped in there by himself. Who jumped in there willingly? It was Jesus. Because when they threw three of them into the furnace, Nebuchadnezzar says, wait a second, I see the fourth one. We didn't throw in fourth one. He jumped himself in. Jesus jumps in there where you are, where you're struggling and you're suffering. You don't have to ask him twice. He jumps in the fire with you. This is the good news that I want you to remember from this story. Because when we go through those last days events, we will need Jesus on our side. Amen? We will need Jesus on our side. Now let me touch on a few more things. Give me five more minutes, okay? I see some of you getting a little bit anxious about the time, but just give me a few more minutes. I think this is important to talk about these things. So, the second story in the Bible talking about the image goes all the way back to Genesis. I want you to open with me Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. And you all remember the story. Genesis 1, 26. Then God said, let us make man in our, what? In our image, according to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the earth, and so on and so forth. In verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. The second story is very important for us to understand Revelation 13 as well. We always go to Daniel 3, and that's the great story to go to, and it gives us a background, what is going to happen the last day. But Genesis 1, 26, 27 is very important. God created in the beginning man and woman and women to resemble him, to be in his image. That means to resemble his character, to be like him in their character. Now, it's very interesting that when we go back to Revelation 13, there is one detail that we always miss in Revelation 13. I want you to go back there, Revelation 13, and look with me in verse 15. And you'll see the parallel between creation story and this. It says here that they will set up an image. And in verse 15 it says, he was, meaning the earth beast, was granted power to give what? Breath to the image of the beast. Now, what happened at creation? God forms Adam from the dust of the ground, and then he did what? He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. He started functioning. He started being active. The same happens in Revelation 13. It says that this system, an end-time system, which will be the image, will be set up by the earth beast, which is the United States. It will be inactive until the beast itself gives it power or life to it and brings it to life. They will be the one that will bring this system to life, United States of America, and they will start being active and persecuting God's people. It's very important to see the parallel because this earth beast is taking the prerogatives of God, creative power of God, to give breath, to give life to something. This power, as we said in the last sermon, will even try to bring signs, to make signs, to bring fire from heaven, to show that they are divine-like power. This is a religious power. This is a religious power that will try to set this up. Now, God made humans to be his image. Amen? Are you the image of God? Are you the image of God? But in the last days, the beast will try to bring a counterfeit image, a false image, So you see, this battle in the last days is always present in the book of Revelation. Last time we talked about false worship versus true worship. Today we're talking false image versus true image. You are the image of God. You are His representatives. As in the days of the three young men, they stood up. The image stood up opposite to the false image that Nebuchadnezzar set. They stood up like the image of God. In the last days of Earth's history, those who are faithful to God will have to stand up as the images of God, opposite to the false image that the beast will set up. Are you ready to represent God? Are you ready to be His true images in the last days? I know we talk a lot about persecution. We talk a lot about the beast and everything, the Sunday laws and everything else. But from this sermon, I want you to remember, God made an image right from the beginning, you and I. And no matter how many images Satan is trying to set up, he needs you to stand up like his image, the true image, to represent God in the last days. I know that you are saying amen and nodding your heads today, but the preparation for those times starts when? Starts now. The preparation starts today. If you want to be an image for God, it starts today. So let me conclude. In Revelation 13, we see the sign of fire is used to deceive the people in order for them to make an image to the beast. Those who accept the deception are told by the beast to make an image, a religious political system in the last days that will persecute God's people, those who are not going to bow down before the image. This is an image to the first beast because it's a persecuting power. The first beast is the sea beast, so an image is a replica of that persecuting power from the Middle Ages, and the same system will be brought back in the last days to replicate what happened during Middle Ages. It will be a political union and a religious union between the sea beast and earth beast to bring upon the universal false worship to the beast. But God has His people in the last days. And they are described in Revelation 14, right in the beginning, after we see this controversy in chapter 13. Chapter 14 is starting with 144,000. These are the remnant. And it says about them that they have what written on their foreheads? The name of the Father. The name represents the character. It's the character of God that stands out. These are the ones that I describe in Revelation 7 as having the seal of God. These are the ones that will be able to stand in the last days and stand firm and tall for God's principles. These are the ones that will perfectly represent God's character in the last days. These are the ones that will be true images of God in the last days. So, Calgary Central and all the visitors today, which side are you going to be on? Which side are you on today? The three young Jewish men never bowed down before the image. I pray and hope that when we face challenges, we will be able to stand up for what is right. May God bless you. Amen.